This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. You are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Michelle is in for Tracy today. We are at the top of the hour, 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And yes, we have our first guest in studio. And this is quite funny because she's a little bit nervous.
We know she sees what I'm going to do.
I know, you just have to talk a little close. But we are in studio with Jamie LeMay. She is my general manager of the Manchester Red Arrow location. So welcome, Jamie.
Hi. Am I not close enough?
Yeah, that's good. Say it again.
Hi. Better? Am I close?
Better. And, you know, I just need to give you a, you know, because we have three locations. We're going on four. Every Thursday, I mean, I love Thursdays. Thursday is a busy day at the office, you know, and then, of course, we have the radio show. And every Thursday, we meet in the corporate office conference room, and the GMs all come, and we get our numbers for the week, or they get their numbers for the week. And, you know, and then they also, you know, they have certain numbers they should be reaching, their food cost and labor cost and all that. And I do have to say, I'm so proud to say that Jamie is always the one you are, but it's so fun. And, you know, you've come such a long way. You know, actually give me a, like, what is your, before the Red Arrow, where did you work and how did you come upon, you know, becoming the GM at the Manchester Red Arrow?
I was a bartender at, a hotel. I did like weddings and stuff.
So for events and, okay, functions.
Yeah, I did that for 3 years.
Okay.
And I knew one of the managers that worked here, and he was like, you're going to be perfect for third shift.
Ah, and you were willing. Now, see, third shift is a pretty big deal to take over. And I do remember when you were on third shift, because that's when you had started.
Yeah.
And you seem to have, I mean, did that take you a lot to get used to, third shift?
Yeah. I mean, when you leave at 6:30 in the morning, it's almost like you don't have a day off. You didn't work that day, even though you've been there for 6 hours, but I loved it. It was so much fun.
Why don't you tell listeners out there what it is like third shift at the Manchester location?
We've been there a few times, Carol.
Right?
We have. Just a few.
I don't kind of remember that.
I do.
You know, I remember the next day when I look at my phone at the pictures when you and I are in the kitchen on the grill.
Oh, my God, yeah. And feeding Andrea's husband pie.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Which we frown upon customers on the grill.
I didn't. When I said on the grill, I didn't mean to say on the grill.
No, we were on the grill.
Didn't mean to say that.
Well, it's at like 1:15 in the morning after all the bars get out. It's like
probably.
The door opens and doesn't close until about 3 a.m. Sometimes later.
It's pretty fun. I mean, there's a line constantly. It's,
the after party.
It's the after party.
Yeah.
But then what happens around 3:30? Cause the doors are still coming in. And what type of clientele do you usually see at that time?
Then we start getting the guys going to work. Mm-hmm. The guys who've been coming in since they were little kids, they're retired and they're still coming in instead of going to sleeping in.
But then don't you see too a lot of like the bartenders in the industry?
Oh, absolutely.
And the servers in the industry. And,
yeah.
You know, which I always thought was pretty fun.
The people who haven't been drinking. Yeah.
You can always spot them.
Yeah.
That's so fun. So, what else at the Red Arrow? Tell me. What else do you serve at the Red Arrow?
What else do we serve?
What are good, you know, what do they do on Fridays? Because I know we just had some new shirts made up. So let's talk a little bit about that. I'll let you.
Well, tomorrow morning, our Sal Fresh Seafood will go down to Boston and he picks up haddock, brings it to us around noon, and we do Fresh Fry Friday.
Fresh Fish Fridays. That's okay.
I can't
talk. It's the same thing. fish and chips on Friday.
Yeah.
And you know, when we say Sal, you know, Sal, he literally goes to the Boston docks and he gets it fresh for us. And yeah, we have awesome haddock at the diner.
Yeah, everybody loves it.
Well, I just ate there the other day, and you have some new mac and cheese going on.
We do.
Yeah. I was like, this doesn't look like the mac and cheese I'm used to, but it was very good.
Yeah, we've gotten a really good response from the white cheddar instead of the orange.
Yeah. It was like shocking at first, but very good. Very good.
It's definitely a step up for, you know, an improvement in the flavor, you know.
Especially with the buffalo diner. Chicken.
Yes.
Yeah.
It so mixes good. Well with that.
Buffalo chicken mac and cheese. Yum. You know what we do? This is another fun thing that we all kind of do. Each store and the offices involved in that too. We'll come up with our you know specials for the week, and then we will run like you know 1 week it'll be Milford's, and we you know check to see how many of those we sell, and the next week it'll be you know, and then we're all kind of buying together. You know, it's just it keeps it fun and you know something to look forward to, and just I think one of the favorite things. That we do that my favorite thing that we do is making up all these specials because I mean I am still amazed. I've owned it it's going to be 30 years, and in Manchester you know whatever you put up on that special board will sell. It's amazing. I mean you make up
people look forward
crazy
to it.
Things like we started making up different like the hash brown specials. Maybe you can let the listeners know exactly what a hash brown special is.
Take the hash browns, put them on the grill with some onions, and we mix in anything that you want. Put cheese on top. It comes with 2 eggs and toast.
You can mix in chicken, all kinds of stuff. Oh, my God. I love
chicken,
the hash brown
ham.
Specials.
I mean,
kibasa.
Anything. I even think we've done mac and cheese hash brown specials. I mean, it's just crazy.
We've done Thanksgiving hash brown special with cranberry sauce and everything.
I like the cowboy beans hash brown special every now and then with the hamburger. It's cowboy
chuck wagon.
Sorry, I said it wrong.
Chuck wagon.
That's my favorite.
One. Yeah,
that's my favorite. That one.
And then we do different eggs Benedicts, and you know, it's just really fun.
Yeah. Well, I noticed the Facebook thing.
The Facebook counter.
Facebook
that every time you is in each location. It is not in Milford yet. It is on back order. But if you go into our Londonderry store and our Manchester store, it's pretty prominent. You know, in Londonderry, it's pretty much in the center. I'm pretty sure it's on top of one of the machines, either the coffee machine or whatever. But you'll see it. It's, you know, clearly right out there. Same as in Manchester. And literally, customers, listeners, you can go into the diners in real time and go to your phone and go to Red Arrow Facebook page, and you can hit the like page, and you will actually see the numbers move in real time. And
if you don't believe it, you can unlike it and then like it again.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's delayed. You press it and you're waiting. And I've had so many people say, it's not working. And as soon as it comes out of their mouth, it starts
going.
And it doesn't just do one. It'll kind of do like a rotation, which is kind of cool. It'll go tick, 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 tick. You know, it goes up to 10 and then back to whatever number it's supposed to be, up or down or whatever. But you can go into the diners and you can do that. So
And the selfie wall?
The selfie wall is in both of those diners as well. Milford's is coming. And yeah, so fun. I love the marketing end of it, you know. But Jamie, you cook as well. You do all aspects of the diner. And you've learned all of that. I mean, you came from the industry of being a bartender. And now you know, I mean, like all aspects of the restaurant, really.
Yeah, it took a while. But the cooking, I cook at least once a week. I've actually kind of started enjoying it.
Ooh.
And I cook, I know.
You know, it's fun. It is.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed it.
And I cook more than I'm ever on the floor now.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, that's okay. But, I mean, you're the general manager. So, I mean, you're in and out, and I always call it the crazy eight because you're in and then back in the kitchen and then back out, and then you go outside, make, you know, talk to customers, and it's fun.
You look like you're having fun.
Oh, dear.
I know. I feel like I've been involved with the Red Arrow for pretty much as long as you have.
Pretty much. Maybe not. I was 23.
Yeah, no, not bad, but pretty much
a good 15 years. Probably 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Tyler's 22, so
gosh.
But anyway, yes, it's fun. I mean, you, Michelle, have always done, you know, we do the Taste of Downtown. Remember, we did that every year.
I know.
We were the only two that did it.
Yep.
We'd go to the stadium, too.
Everywhere.
New Hampshire Magazine's the big best
of
party.
One.
That
was
so fun.
Forever.
Now there's, you know, now we can just go and attend and walk around and eat.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But I like working that. Back and, you know, serving and doing all that and cash register.
And your Connor has been working at the Red Arrow for
a long time. And Kyle before him.
And Kyle, well, why don't you tell the little story about the duck boat? I don't know if Jamie knows this.
I have no idea.
We were on the.
How old were the kids?
Is it the duck boat?
It was the duck boat.
Yeah,
tour.
It was. And they were, gosh, Jesse, Tyler, Connor, and Kyle. And Kyle, I want to say he was nine.
Yeah, nine or
maybe
10.
Nine or 10. Yeah. And you know, when you get on the duck boats, they take you onto the Charles River, and the guy driving the boat calls up all the kids. Carol and I are sitting in the very back seat, so we could see, right? We didn't have to turn or anything. And Kyle, they all go up there. Jesse's driving the boat. Tyler's driving the boat. Connor. Finally, it's Kyle. And the guy asks questions. And he asks his name. Where are you from? He goes, Manchester, New Hampshire. Oh, I know Manchester, New Hampshire, the guy says. And he says, so, Kyle, what do you want to be when you grow up? He goes, I want to work at the Red Arrow Diner in Manchester, New Hampshire. And I thought Carol was going to lose her teeth. Me too. I was like, what? And he ended up working at the Red Arrow Diner. He was your first male waiter, I think.
Did.
Pretty sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
pretty
so.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean, both of your kids have worked there. And Connor, of course.
Connor's cook now.
Isn't Connor like... I mean, isn't he awesome?
He is. He doesn't talk much.
No.
But you know what? He comes in, he does his job, he minds his own business.
But if you go on certain days or certain times, he sings. If it's a good song, he'll sing, especially if he knows I'm not there.
if it's Taylor Swift.
Sing. Yeah, oh, he loves Taylor Swift. Don't tell Alicia, but yeah. Yeah, so... Appreciate it. They've had a good run with the Red Arrow for sure.
All right. And before we let her go, let's just talk a little bit about, I mean, I know, you know, the season kind of just ended, but, and pretty much any time of the year, I mean, there's always, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up and there's going to be St. Patrick's Day and stuff, but the Red Arrow Diner does a lot of pies.
Yeah, definitely. All year.
All year long. Each location has their own baker in the location. So everything's made fresh, you know, right there. I mean, our bakers work, you know, 5 or 6 days a week. And so maybe you want to let listeners know, you know, some of the flavors of our pies and stuff that they can either order online or give a call.
Yeah, one of the most popular ones is the chocolate cream. We have apple. One of the ones that's really taken off that's my favorite is the blueberry Hannah.
Yum.
So it's got the lemon on the bottom and then the blueberry on top, and it has a blueberry glaze. We do that in raspberry, too. Yeah. We've been making those for birthday pies for people.
Yeah. Birthday?
Fun.
Yeah, people have loved them so much. Somebody asked me to write on one. I tried.
That's funny. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I didn't know that. And then we do cakes, too.
Yeah, oh, big, huge cakes.
The cakes are really good.
Yeah, everything. I mean, you know, everything's done, you know, homemade and all that, so... well, Jamie, I want to say thank you so much for coming on.
She's so happy she's done. Look at her. Too bad people can't see you.
Thank goodness.
You listeners, you are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Michelle is in for Tracy. Up next, we will be joined with our very own MHP and our beer segment. And he's going to be joined with... Erica of New Hampshire Magazine and Dan of New England Tap House. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
An intro. It must be Thirsty Thursday, because Food for Thought is about to pour you a liquid lunch with MHP Untapped. Hang out with us while we talk with brewers and beer movers and shakers, discuss New Hampshire beer culture and events, and answer calls to our studio live at 866-823-1077.
I never get tired of hearing that.
You know,
it comes on and I just start getting jiggy with it.
I like love that because it's you know, I should have recorded you because it's so cute watching MHP when he listens to that. He's like so proud.
I get like a little 5-year-old kid. I'm like, oh, that's my jam.
So, Michael, how was your Christmas? And give us, you know, before you welcome on your guests, give us an update on Lithemans and what's happening and how, you know, the holidays went and all that.
Holidays were very good, nice and low key. My mom came out for Thanksgiving, and so we just stayed home for Christmas and New Year's. We closed on Christmas Eve at the brewery just because it was the right thing to do, even though there was probably a lot of beer to be sold. It was more important to hang out with our family, but we had a great Friday and Thursday beforehand, and we're back at full tilt now. We've got 8 beers, working on getting up to 12. Just had new draft lines installed, had our kegerator pulled out, put our draft lines through the wall, beautiful piece of stone. So it looks a lot nicer. It's a lot more functional. We'll be open tonight with 8 beers on tap. So it's, yeah, things are going really, really well.
Good for you. That is great. And can you just give an update, or not an update, but when they can hear you on your podcast and, you know, the info of where they can.
Absolutely. We have we put out a new show every week. It usually goes live late on Thursdays for the Tap Handle Show, and you can find that on iTunes at the Tap Handle Show. You can also go to thetaphandleshow.com. We alternate content between the Tap Handle Show, which usually focuses on one industry expert, does kind of an in-depth interview, versus Hop Talks, the podcast, which is more of a forum of 2, 3, 4 industry people talking about a couple of timely topics. And we alternate between those two platforms on the same show. We have a tap handle going live. It might actually be live right now, but there's about 110 episodes archived, 120 episodes. So if hearing me here on your show half an hour a month isn't quite enough, and you want to hear the non-edited version. Yes, I put the F in FCC. We'll put it that way.
It's so funny though. It's very entertaining. Not only entertaining, it's very. You know, the information that you learn. I mean, that's why I love doing this show, because, you know, I get different, you know, different people coming in doing all different businesses and, you know, different aspects of it. And you just learn every single week. It's very, very fun. So with that being said, I would like you to introduce your guests.
Excellent. Well, we have been fortunate enough to be able to cover an ongoing event, the New Hampshire Beer Club, which is a collaboration between New England's Tap House Grill and New Hampshire Magazine. And so we have here in the studio Dan Legue from New England's Tap House Grill and Erica Thoitz from New Hampshire Magazine.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
And we talk about this every month on the podcast, but I thought this would be a great opportunity to present it to a more local, broader audience.
I think that's great.
So why don't you guys jump right into it and tell everybody about the project?
Well, thanks a lot for having us, first of all. The project started, I can't believe it, but it's been almost a year now. Is that right, Dan? It started in April of last year, so we're coming up on almost a full year, which is awesome this spring. But each month we have a local brewer, it's always New Hampshire, come into the tap house for a really informal event. It's not at all intimidating or a long sit-down dinner. We gather together. The brewer talks about the beer. Interested people, usually we have a lot of home brewers in the audience, come and ask questions. They get to say, you know, what hops do you use? How do you do this? How do you do that? It's really cool. I think everybody just talks about a thing that they love, which happens to be beer. And then we taste beer. They usually bring 4 samples. And by samples, I mean pretty healthy pours. No one's going home feeling like they got shortchanged, I don't think.
Depending on how many beers they have.
Yes, I mean,
if they
yes.
have 3 beers available right. at the time, depending on the brewer, there's new brewers sometimes that are
right.
They're just coming up, so they have a few less beers than the other ones.
Which we just taste more of those beers,
correct.
Which is fantastic. And then the tap house has been kind enough to come up with some really great pairings for each beer. So they make sense together. It's not, you know, random. And they've been, you know, not that I thought that they weren't going to be good, Dan, but I was really blown away by, what you guys had pulled out.
The chef goes out and he goes to the brewery and he picks up the beers and he makes it a little special treat for him because he goes out, he and who doesn't want to give a head chef beer? So he gets he gets all these growlers tasting, and so he's very happy about that.
Yeah, there was a vinaigrette made with one of the beers at the last one that was so good. Was that on the shrimp? I can't remember. But it doesn't matter. It was great, and I expect more great surprises like that in the future.
So is that what your chef does? So whatever brewery is going to be in that following month, he'll go and use the beer and the recipes and pair it that way?
Correct, or? And we do that for all sorts of different events. We have a beer club. We also have beer dinners, which on the 24th, 25th. I believe, on the 25th, we have Litteman's Limited. Five beers, I believe.
Yes.
Five course, five beers. So the chef goes out, he matches each beer, he tastes all the beers, and him and our assistant, or sous chef, they love drinking beer, and that's why they're there. If they didn't like beer, we had a vegetarian at one point that worked for us, and that didn't really work really well.
I can see that, yeah, there's, for sure.
Yeah. So somebody who doesn't like beer, it's pretty complicated to actually do some pairings just by notes on a piece of paper. So they go out, they test the beer, they talk about the different things that they want to do, and then they taste the beer again with certain ideas that they had. So it's a long process. Sometimes it takes them close to 8 hours to just match things. Not on the beer club because they're just little small bite-sized appetizers or small plates. But for a beer dinner, we're talking about five courses that are very intricate, and you're spending $45, $55, $65, depending on the brewery, depending on the menu that we're going to have. So you have a significant amount of time and effort put into the pairing, into the ingredients. Sometimes I remember beer dinners that we went down, we went up to Vermont to go get some Vermont cheese and picked it out in the creameries, and so we've done a lot of traveling to be able to, and it's a fun thing. That's what it's all about. It's about enjoying life, and it's about exploring different areas and seeing different countrysides, meeting the people that are doing that are creating that art. And that's a very important aspect. People think that it's all about the ingredients. It's about the love. It's about what you put into
where
it.
Where it comes from, and for sure. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to The Pulse, Food for Thought, Carol and Tracy. Michelle is in for Tracy, and we are in studio with our very own MHP, Michael Helpley-Pierce.
Hello.
And he brought in with him Erica Thoitz, Managing Editor at New Hampshire Magazine, as well as Dan Legue from New England Tap House over in Hooksett. And what we're talking about is a beer club that you do in partnership with New Hampshire Magazine. And that's different than the beer dinners you're talking about.
Correct. I don't want to mix anybody up.
I just want to make sure people know that. Yeah.
They're sort of a smaller scale version of the beer dinners because those are tough to execute every month. And when you're trying to get out, because they're timed, you're trying to get 40, 50 covers out. Each course comes out at the same time. You're timing five courses. It's tough to orchestrate all that on a kitchen that's already trying to put out 1,000 covers a day or whatever you're doing. So this is sort of a nice way for people who don't want to spend 3 hours and maybe don't want to spend $60. The tickets are at 30?
They are 30.
And 10 goes to a charity.
Right, correct. Yeah, each month, Dan and company have been very generous with that. 10 of every ticket goes to a local charity, often Hooksett-based and almost always New Hampshire-based, which has been great. And we often have members of those organizations come and hang out with us and talk about their charity or their nonprofit organization, which has been wonderful.
That is,
The format was made so I wanted to have a VIP club because we're closed on Mondays. I wanted to have a club or an area where people that are interested in beer, some of them don't really know all about beer and all the intricacy about beer, but they want to know. And I wanted to make it so it's not intimidating in front of these professional beer geeks or beer snobs or beer advocates and whatever you can call them.
I'm standing right here.
I've been really happy.
Everyone's a judge. Yeah. Not everyone's a judge. So we wanted to make it a little bit more approachable for the common mortal that is getting into the beer industry that wants to learn about the different styles. So.
And I think we've had a great mix of people who are really into it and people who just want to taste some great beer and have an appreciation for it. And I don't think anybody's ever been made to feel like an idiot for asking a question that might not be, you know, the most on point.
So we bring in the salesperson, the rep usually for the company and the brewer.
Right.
So you have the technical geeky side that's available and the glamorous, oh my God, this is the greatest beer ever. And they're very excited and passionate. So you get a little bit of both worlds.
Now, where can people, if they're interested in coming to the beer club, or a dinner that you are, you know, hosting, where can they find that info?
All beer club information and tickets can be found at nhbeerclub.com. And we also have it all over the magazine website at nhmagazine.com. And we're on Facebook.
Okay.
So any one of those.
Beer dinners, it's Eventbrite. Yeah. So you just click on
Eventbrite. Or go to your website as well.
We'll
and
have,
they can probably go from there.
Absolutely.
So what is your website?
www.taphousenh.com.
Taphousenh.com. Okay, like I said, you are listening to The Pulse.
I haven't said
www
ever.
I know.
You don't have to
We know
anymore.
It's the World Wide Web. Kids don't even know what that stands for.
It's why are you saying that?
Thanks, Al Gore.
We need to go on a short break, and when we get back, we're going to talk to Dan, the owner of New England Tap House, a little bit more about the history of New England Tap House and where, you know, how that came about. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Michelle is in for Tracy. And we have MHP in the house.
What up?
And before we talk with Dan a little bit more of New England Tap House over in Hooksett, what did you bring us today? So we'll be like, you know, sipping as Dan's talking. So see, Dan can't drink.
So one. I actually brought I brought the beer that Dan has on tap at New England's Tap House Grill on the menu throughout the fall and the winter, which is Simply Red Ale. It is a big, malty, chewy, hoppy Imperial Red Ale, probably not like any other beer that you've ever had. Not because it's not because there's something special about how we make it, just that no one's making a beer quite like it right now. So yeah.
I'm excited. So start pouring.
All right.
So Dan, how long has New England Tap House been there? How long? I mean,
well, we're celebrating.
I'm afraid of what you're going to say because time flies by so fast.
We're celebrating our fourth year anniversary.
Yeah, it's been
this
a while.
14th.
January
14th, we're doing our fourth year anniversary. So that's going to be another really exciting moment. Every time we do that, I just cringe when I walk in. I'm happy, but I'm also like very cautious about the fire department, you know? Sometimes because you look at it and you're like, oh my God, is there too many people? I don't have a counter. What's going on? So it's those anniversaries are really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, now, we have a nice luge, so and a band, and we don't usually have bands, but for this occasion we do now. So
on the 14th, is that
correct.
Something that's going to be happening?
Yeah, Saturday
in
after
less than like 2 weeks.
Yes, absolutely.
Very cool. Yeah. So 4 year anniversary. Well, that is definitely something to be proud of, especially in this industry. You know, it's a big deal. Now, for people that haven't been to New England Tap House, walk us through the front door and, you know, really literally visualize walking in the front door and walk a customer right through all around your bar and the open concept of the kitchen. And
The whole idea behind the bar, behind the whole concept of the tap house was we wanted to have beer. So we have 48 beers, 48 craft beers. Well, 47 craft beers, and then we have one domestic beer. Our goal was to be able to have a lot of beers. We also have wine. We also have liquor license, so we can offer anything for anyone. We cook everything from scratch. So when you walk in, you get to see the wonderful keg cooler that has all the 48 beers on tap. It's open, so you can see it. If you look to your left, you have an aging keg cooler, which is something that we just added this year. So we've got about close to 50 kegs right now that are aging for the next 5-10 years.
Wow.
And that's in your new space, right?
Yes. We added 2,500 square feet to the 5,000 square feet that we had prior. So we have a large capacity. With this new space, we can now have just a private bar. We added another 48 taps on the other side, so you can have a private party and have your own bar and have 48 beers on tap there also. And then we put some closing doors in back of that, and then behind the whole thing, we put a function hall. It sits, we've had dinners of 75 people sitting down, so it's big enough for large groups. It could be used for either presentations. It's got a big flat screen, and it's really functional for all sorts of different occasions. We had weddings, we had celebrations of life, we had all sorts of different.
That is, I didn't even realize that.
We added that last year, January. Okay. I started the construction, finished in May, and it's been open since then, and it's been cranking. Holiday parties were really interesting because we can actually connect it to the main dining room also. So it has all these pocket doors and all these doors everywhere. So you can limit your party to 25 and not feel like you're lost in a room. Or you can go to 100 in that whole room and not feel crowded. So that's the beauty of it. The bar has 32 seats, and it's right in the middle of the whole area. It's an open space concept, so you can get to see from one corner to the other corner of the dining room, which is sometimes bad for us when we try to control the amount of people that are coming in to the kitchen for the kitchen. But it gets you that open feeling. You don't feel like you're cooped up into a corner like some of those chain restaurants. You have tables that are just made for four. We could easily do a 15 or a 20 top. Maybe not on a Friday Friday at 7 o'clock. Oh, we're looking for 20 people. But we have an open end, an open kitchen also. That really is, I made that open kitchen before I knew what a kitchen was. I knew a little bit about kitchens. I wasn't in the industry before, but I didn't know how an evening with so many people could destroy a floor and make it look like a total mess. But it keeps everyone honest. You don't drop a piece of meat on the floor and pick it up and put it on the plate.
Right.
That's what I wanted to be able to have. I wanted to be able to have transparency and people seeing what we do. This is what it is. It's cut. It's black and white. We're not trying to pretend anything. There is ovens. There's no microwaves. If you look through the whole kitchen,
stacks of Cisco boxes.
Yeah, the whole microwave out there. We had a microwave, I think, for the first 3 months. It broke, and then we tossed it out. We haven't had a microwave since. So
let's talk a little bit about your menu, because I love your menu. I mean, you get a variety of, you know, all kinds of things.
Yes, we have. We have staples. We have the poutine, which is the French Canadian in me that wanted to have something like that. Montreal smoked meat also that we smoke in-house. We have brisket, steaks, burgers, your chicken. We have some healthy meals also. We always try to diversify our menu, and every 4 months we go back to the drawing table and we change all of our bottom 10 to 15%, the dogs, or some items that are not going to sell in the summer. I mean, I can't have squash in the summer. So instead of keeping the squash item for the winter, we take that off and we make a nice salad. And so there's items that always are going to change, but there's staples that always stay. And sometimes my chefs, they don't like to make something and they say, oh, I don't want to have that on the menu. It's hard, but you know what? It's what I really want to have on the menu. So even though sometimes they're popular, they're hard to make, but we make the effort to make it happen.
The reports will show them.
Yeah. Correct.
You need to make
this.
Yes,
yes, absolutely.
Now, okay, so I didn't really know your background. So you've never been in the restaurant business before this?
No, I used to be Michael MHP's direct competition in the granite countertop industry.
Really?
Yeah, we went head to head for many years.
You know Daryl?
We didn't. He might.
Yeah.
Daryl ran sales and marketing for Granite Design in Quebec forever. So when I was at Northern, a decade ago when we were fighting over chunks of 10 or 20 Home Depots over a big boardroom that was glaring at each other.
Yeah.
So what?
Realizing we were the only two non-morons in the room and probably hating each other for that fact.
Yeah.
What made you, how did this all come about? So you're in the granite business and you go to...
It's very hard to explain. It's a little bit more of a ha-ha moment.
There's a great Tap Handle show about it. In fact, I think it's episode 2 or 3.
We don't have enough time to go through the whole thing, but I'll cut it short. My daughter put me up against a wall because I challenged her on something. She challenged me back, and that night I went downstairs, wrote a business plan, and here I am on a radio show 4 years later.
Wow.
How's that?
With
that
a very successful restaurant.
Yeah,
so
very successful.
My daughter was actually trying to do something, and her friends were saying, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're not good enough. And you can't be a famous soccer player. You can't do this. And so I went up to her one night, and she was talking about it, very disappointed that her friends were telling her that she couldn't do it. And so I basically said, well, if you have a dream, you need to go and get it. And she put me up against the wall and said, well, what's your dream? I said, well, I'd like to be able to start a restaurant. So she goes, why are you not starting a restaurant?
Oh, good for her.
Well, because I don't have enough money. And because I don't know anything about the restaurant industry and I don't really. And she went, well, you're a smart guy. Why are you not doing this? And money, I mean, there's people that are going to lend you money, I'm sure. So I put my money where my mouth is because I had told a lot of people, you need to live up your dream. Stop pretending that you're happy in what you're doing. Take your life and change your life into what you want it to be.
So when you started this 4 years ago, did you think you'd be where you are today right now?
I've seen everything where I'm at right now. I've visualized everything.
Vision. Yep.
I've been visualizing. I'm a strong believer in positive thoughts, and I'm a strong believer. I'm not naive. I'm not going to think I'm going to be an astronaut tomorrow morning. But when I want something, I meditate on it. I see it. I visualize every detail. I started tasting the peppermint in the toothpick in my ideas. I started smelling the smoke in the smoker. I could tell you what music was playing. I could actually visualize the little cobweb that was caught in the top corner of the room flickering because of the ventilation.
Cobwebs.
That's how detailed.
I can remember 5-6 years ago pouring this beer, actually, that I poured for you guys, pouring one for Dan, and Dan said, I'm going to put this on top of my restaurant. I'm like, dude, you don't own a restaurant, and I don't own a brewery. But I could see in his eyes that like he wasn't someone blowing smoke up my butt.
That is really awesome.
Yeah.
That's something to say for both of you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
It's very important to live your dream. It's very important to actually see where you want to go. A lot of people just waste their time into their job, and they think that it's going to be okay tomorrow. It's not. If you don't take control of it, you're going to be stuck in your job, and you're going to be stuck in your ideas, and you're not going to change.
Question. So do we see maybe another Tap House in the future?
Yes. There's a few projects on the table. Right now we're looking at being self-sustainable, farming to a certain extent. We're looking at getting fresh produce. We're looking at modifying the direction that we want to have. So in 5 or 6 years, I can go with phase 2 of where I want to go for my my food purveyor's ideology of what food should be. Tap House number 2 is going to happen probably within the next 2 years. We're going to be formulating the plans for that. There's nothing formal with it right now. We just added the addition to the Tap House last year, so that set me back a little bit. We weren't expecting to actually drop that much money into the side, our little side project, but it's spectacular.
Now, your wife, is she active in this with you as well? I mean,
she's the reason why I'm here. Yeah, she is the most active.
She's who I deal with when I go into the restaurant. Okay. Dan and I love to chat, but if I need to get something done, I go find Val.
Yeah, she is the go-to person the most. She's spectacular in terms of running a business. She's never run a restaurant in her life before, and she is just on top of it. There is nobody that I would like to go in business, in any other business, than with her. She gets, she does get things done.
Gets the job done.
Oh, I mean, a pain for me. A pain, because I'm a procrastinator. And she's like, okay, what do you do with this? Let's do it.
Dan, in that you and I are very awesome, similar. Like, we're both kites.
Music's on.
Yeah.
And we need strings.
Correct.
Great beer, by the way.
This beer, Michael, we have like probably 20 seconds.
I didn't think
this
I'd
beer
like
is
it.
Really. I didn't think I'd like it.
I love it.
You said
Simply Red Ale.
Very
available
great.
On tap at the Tap New House Grill all the time.
There you go.
Great.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Erica, Dan, Michael, of course. Kale and Company's up next, and we'll see everybody next week. Bye bye.